he came hungry, right? Not physically hungry. Maybe so, some of that too, but spiritually hungry. We're ready just to hear what God has, the word he has for us today. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to make this statement. While I'm making this statement, you can turn to Romans chapter 3. We kind of talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and we used this very scripture, but I want to look at it again as a refresher, as a reminder. But right now, we're in the middle of the series called Faith in the Blood. Right? And the thing that gives Jesus so much power, the name of Jesus so much power, is the blood of Jesus. His blood is like no other blood. That's why he had to have, that's why the Father, by the Holy Spirit, had to impregnate Mary, and it couldn't have been by Joseph, his natural father, because that bloodline was tainted by sin. But Jesus' blood was the only blood that was untainted by sin. Right? So that's why it required the Holy Spirit to impregnate Mary, right? But that's what makes his name so powerful. But talking about this concept of faith in the blood, F.F. Bosworth said this: faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. If you don't know it's God's will for you to have something, you can't possibly have true confidence that he's going to give it to you. Would you agree, right? If you don't know that it's God's will for you to be healed, then you can't possibly stand for healing. If you don't know that it's God's will for you to be in relationship with him for eternity, you can't possibly truly believe that that's what's going to happen. But the Bible makes all these things clear, doesn't it? The Bible tells us that because of the blood of Jesus, we have healing. The Bible says because of the blood of Jesus, we have provision. The Bible tells us that because of the blood of Jesus, that we can have joy. We can have peace. We can enjoy life. Jesus says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you would have life and enjoy it. Right? And all of this, all of it is made available because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? That is awesome. Over in Romans chapter 3, it tells us this. It says in Romans chapter 3 and in verse 24, it says, yet God in his grace, let me just kind of tell you a little bit, give you a simple definition of what grace is. God's, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, like it says in Isaiah 55, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. Or let's put it this way. He was wounded because of our transgressions. He was bruised because of our iniquities, right? The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. Isn't that awesome? See, so it's God's riches at Christ's expense. Now don't let that be the totality of the meaning in your mind, because grace is so much deeper than even that. But that's pretty awesome in and of itself. That God's riches at Christ's expense. In other words, Jesus died on the cross for you. And he died on the cross for me. And before he died on the cross, he was strapped to this whipping post, and they whipped him 39 times. With a whip laced with sharp objects, bones and rock and stone, and it just ripped his flesh. He did all that for you. He did all that so that you could be healed. By his stripes, we are healed. Right? And then he goes on to the cross, and then he does the most important thing that ever needed to be done. He allowed his blood to be shed. You say, no, they murdered him. No, they did not murder him. In fact, Pontius Pilate says, I have the power to save your life. And Jesus looks at Pontius Pilate and says, you have no power but what God gives you. They didn't take his life. The Bible says, Jesus said himself, I lay my life down. Jesus wasn't murdered. He gave his life. Now, yes, they did the killing, but Jesus, the Bible says he could have called 10,000 angels and gotten him out of there just like that. But I believe that in the hardest times that he faced in the garden, I believe that all of us came before him. And he thought, no, I know. In fact, he said that, didn't he? He said to the Father, he said, Lord, Father, God, if there's any way for this cup, what cup? It wasn't a literal cup of anything, right? If there's any way for what I'm about to face, if there's any way for this thing to pass for me, in other words, if there's any way that I can get this accomplished other than going through this, let it be so. He says, but nevertheless, not what I will, not what my flesh wants, but what your will is. And the fact of the matter is, Jesus was born into this earth to face this moment. He was born into the earth to live for 33 years. It was the plan all along for him to be the sacrificial lamb. In fact, the Bible says that he was a sacrificial lamb before the foundations of the earth. The plan was there all along. Because God knew that humanity was going to fall into sin and allow sin to come into this human race. And that there was going to be a need of a Savior. And that Savior's name is Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible tells us that by no other name can man be saved except by the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But it was the blood that made all of that possible. It was his perfect, sinless blood. And he says here, he says, yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. He freed us from the penalty for our sins. Again, he freed us. Did you know that you're free today? If you've accepted the work that Jesus did on the cross for you, you are free. You are free. Right? How do they do it in texting? You, period. R, period. Free, period. Right? And that's what God is saying to you. You are free. Because Jesus came and bore the penalty for our sin. There was no other way. The Bible says, by no other name can man be saved except by the name of Jesus Christ. So he says, for he did this through Jesus Christ when he freed us from the penalty for our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin, right? See, around here at the Different Church, we don't talk about people's sin so much. Why? Because we don't want to be sin conscious. But what we do talk about is righteousness. We talk about that you are the righteousness of God. There is no power in you being reminded of the sin you've committed. There's no power in that. But there is power in knowing that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've been made the righteousness of God. In fact, the Bible tells us over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, that Jesus became our sin. He didn't put on our sin like a coat. So we don't put on righteousness for Sunday morning. He became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. When we begin to see that we are the righteousness of God, that eliminates the low self-esteem, doesn't it? Because you're no longer estimating yourself and valuing yourself based on you, what you've done, the mistakes you've made. Then you don't have to sit there and weigh out, okay, I've done all these bad things, but hey, I've done some good things. Am I still a good person? No, you are made the righteousness of God because and only because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. That's the amazing power of grace. Hallelujah. So he says here, so Jesus became the sacrifice. God presented, verse 25, for God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who had sinned in times past before the cross. For he was looking ahead, including them, and what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. And at the end of verse 27, it goes on and tells us, how is this done? Is it done by the works of the law? No, it's done by the law of faith. So the law of faith. So what does that mean? We simply say, Jesus, I believe in what you did for me. I believe in when you shed your blood, it was shed for me. I believe in what you did for me. The law of faith makes all this possible. Amen. Faith in the blood. You know, there's I didn't have him put it up there, but over in the same verses, in verse 26 in the New King James, it starts off, and I love this word, and this is the reason I mentioned this. He says that we are justified by the blood. We are justified by what God did. We are justified because Jesus shed his blood. And I love that word justified, because you know what that means? It because of the blood of Jesus, it makes it just if I'd never done it. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It makes all of our sins of our past. It's just if I'd never even committed them. In other words, God doesn't look at you and see all your mistakes and see all your sin. He looks at you through the precious shed blood of Jesus Christ. And he says, innocent. Innocent. The enemy, the Bible says that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren. That he's standing before the throne of God and he's always accusing us to God. But God looks at him every time and says, I see nothing but the blood of Jesus. I declare them innocent. I declare them righteous. It's just if I'd, or just if they had never done it. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. So don't let your mistakes, don't let your low self-esteem, don't let your low thinking of yourself hold you back any longer. Begin to see yourself justified in the blood of Jesus. And move past those mistakes. The devil has nothing but a rope tied to your mistakes and a noose around your neck. And he's trying to strangle you because trying to keep you reminded of the mistakes you've made. But God's saying, no, I've cut the rope. I've set you free. You've been set free because of what the blood has done for you. So I'm challenging you today. Put your faith in the blood. Quit putting your faith in you. Quit putting your faith in your mistakes. Quit putting your faith in things that you've done or things that you haven't done. Begin to look at the blood and declare yourself, I'm justified. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it's a pretty amazing thing to watch a space shuttle take off. Because you got this big old space shuttle and it's being thrust up and it's got these big old fuel cells on the side. And all that fuel cells is there to help that thing launch out into outer space. So all the laws of gravity that is trying to hold that rocket back, it's doing everything it can. The law of gravity's job is to hold that rocket back, to keep it down on the ground. But there is something more powerful that is propelling that out into outer space. And it takes us from this limited gravity realm into this weightlessness realm. That is what the blood of Jesus does for you. The things that are trying to hold you back, the blood of Jesus is propelling you out into this place where there are no limitations, where all things are possible to them that will believe and put their trust in the blood of Jesus. Faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Faith in the blood of Jesus is simply this. It is the power and the vehicle that launches the believer into the realm where the law of faith rules. See, that's why Romans 12:2 tells us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is to the world, what is the good, acceptable, sweet, wonderful goodness of God. The good, acceptable, perfect will of God. God's got so much in store for you, so much blessing on your path that he's just trying to get you to look at the blood because it's the blood that changes everything. It's the blood that changes everything. You know, one guy said this, in a threat environment, all communication is corrupted. In a threat environment, all communication is corrupted. What does that mean? That simply means when someone feels like they're being threatened, they're not really going to hear anything that you're really trying to say to them because they're in a constant state of being defensive. If they feel threatened, come on, husbands, wives, think about this in your relationships. If you're starting to have a discussion and one person gets aggressive and argumentative, then you know, you can know now that they're not really going to hear everything because they're trying to defend their stance. They're trying to defend way they think it should be, right? So what do you got to do? We tell couples don't try to have a feasible conversation at 11, 12 o'clock at night. Why? Because you're tired. And you become defensive, right? You're tired, you get grumpy, and now you're no longer hearing things accurately, right? Me and Heather, we learned that a long time ago. We quit trying to have big conversations right before we were fixing to go to bed. And we said, you know what? Let's just sleep on it. We go, you know, we love you. Hey, I love you. I'm not going to be mad at you, but I'm going to go to sleep because the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, right? Hey, you know, but let's not try to talk about this right now. And we would wait till we had fresh minds to talk about it. And then we were able to come to good solutions. Right. But in a threat environment, if you try to communicate with someone that feels threatened, they don't really hear what you're about to say. The threatening environment causes them to shut down, and because they are constantly trying to defend themselves. So what, and that's kind of where we found ourselves, where, you know, people found themselves with God. It's like, you know, as long as there was condemnation, as long as there was, we felt guilty because of the mistakes we make, it's hard for us to go in to the presence of God because we feel condemned. And now we're finding ourselves trying to justify, well, God, this is why I did this. This is why I did. I know it was a mistake, but this is why, instead of just simply saying, Father, I just plead the blood. I just plead the blood. So what did God do? He sent Jesus to remove the threat environment. To remove the threat environment. Look at Colossians chapter 1. This is so awesome. I'm telling you that the blood of Jesus removes the threat environment. So then we can actually go into the presence of God not feeling guilty, not feeling shameful. Why? Because the blood of Jesus takes away all the guilt. It takes away all the shame. If we put our faith in the blood, we put our confidence. What is faith? Faith is confidence. It's confidence towards God. So if we're going to put our faith in the blood, as the Bible tells us to, then we're going to put our confidence in the fact that the blood has washed it all away. And like I've said before and said so many times, it's not like the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament that just covered the sin for a season. The blood of Jesus came in and didn't sweep it up under the rug so it can be used against you later. The enemy tries to bring it back and use it against you later. But Jesus says, you never hear Jesus remind you of a sin. He will never, ever remind you. So if you feel like, I just feel like God's reminding me of my sin, you're not hearing from God. You're hearing from the enemy. Because he is the accuser of the brethren and the sistren. Right? Didn't want the females feeling like they're left out. But look over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this. And through him, talking about Jesus, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means, how did he do it? By means of Christ's blood on the cross. By means of Christ's blood on the cross. Listen to this, verse 21. This includes you. Can it get any more plain? Well, I don't know if he did it for me. Well, it says right here, this includes you. Who were once far away from God, you were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet, now he has reconciled you back to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. How many would like to know what that caused? The Bible says, as a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless. He brought you into his presence, into his very own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. The blood of Jesus doesn't cover. The blood of Jesus doesn't hide. The blood of Jesus washes it all away without a single fault. But because God knows how the devil works, he continues in verse 23. He says, but you must continue to believe this. You must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. You must believe this. You must continue to believe this. When the enemy, when you leave church and then the enemy begins to come in and remind you of this and remind you of that. Or maybe you get out here in the traffic and you use the wrong finger to give them directions. Or, you do something, you make some mistake, you do something wrong. And immediately, because now you're born again, your heart's starting to, you just feel, oh my gosh, I shouldn't have done that. Don't give in to the lies of the devil. Tell him, you know what? Yes, that was a mistake, but I plead the blood. What is a plea? That's a legal term, isn't it? When people go into court, what is your plea? I plead innocent. I plead guilty. I plead no contest, whatever. What we're supposed to say is, I plead the blood. When the enemy accuses you of something you said nasty or mean to your wife or mean to your husband or to your kids, or when some decision you made or something you've done, you realize you made a mistake, just go, Lord, forgive me. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Listen, you are reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. That's why in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it tells us here, let me find it. In 4:16, Hebrews, where am I? I don't need it. Listen, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says that we can come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help in a time of need. Why can we do that? Because we have been reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus has taken it all away. We don't have to come in with our head bowed down. Oh, God, I know I don't deserve to even talk to you. No, forget that, man. As you walk in, I am the righteousness of God. Father, I'm here to talk. Come on, lift your head up, pull your shoulders back, stick your chest out and say, hey, God, we got some things to talk about. Enemies are out there going, yeah, remember what you did about 5 minutes ago? You go, I don't even know what you're talking about. I plead the blood. Father, let's continue to talk. Walking in comes. The Bible tells us in 1 John, it says, if our hearts condemn us, then we don't have faith towards God. But if our hearts condemn us not, in other words, we don't let ourselves listen to the lies of the enemy. We say, nope, I'm blood bought. Hallelujah. I am bought by the blood of Jesus. The devil can't stop me no more. I'm not going to let judgment stop me anymore. I'm not going to let criticism stop me anymore. I'm not going to let false accusations. I'm not even going to let a true accusation stop me anymore, because I plead the blood of Jesus over that. I'm under the blood. That's what I pray over you guys on almost a daily basis. I say, Father, I just decree and declare over the Difference Church right now in Jesus' name. I thank you I decree and declare they are under the blood of Christ. Therefore, no plague, calamity, sickness, disease, pain, harm, or foul play of any kind shall even come near them, because I plead the blood over them. You're under the blood of Christ. The devil is a liar. Don't listen to what he's got to say. It's never true. The Bible says he is a father of lies and there is no truth in him. So even when he says something that appears to have some truth in it, as he did with Jesus in the desert, he was still twisting it. That's where it was wicked. That's where we get our term for wicker furniture, because it's twisted. It's twisted. Everything the devil says, it's twisted. It may sound like it has some truth in it, but I can assure you there's condemnation right around the corner. Fear right around the corner. Anxieties right around the corner, because we listen to him. But I'm telling you, let's listen to the blood, because I'm telling you, the blood still speaks before the throne of God on your behalf. The blood's still speaking. It's still speaking. And God hears the blood. He hears the blood. If God's not hearing that condemnation, why are you listening to it? Come on. Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 and 2, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk after the things of the flesh, but walk after the things of the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made you free from the laws of sin and death. So we don't have to walk in condemnation. We don't have to walk in guilt. We don't have to walk in shame. We give it to God and we say, I plead the blood. Now this word reconciled is a very interesting word, because it is an accounting term. Right? You know, how many know either by internet or whatever, we get a bank statement every month. Why do they send you a bank statement? So you can reconcile your check register to the bank statement. Has anybody ever forgot that you made a purchase and you didn't write it down in your check register? Because, I mean, today it's rare to write a check. So we usually use a debit card or something. Did you ever forget that you made a purchase and you forgot to write it down? Then you got the bank statement. The bank statement says, this is what you got. And your register says, this is what you got. But if you listen to your register instead of listen to your bank statement, you can get in trouble.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? How many know it's not wise to ignore the bank statement? But see, that's what that word reconcile means. We reconcile. They even still use this word today in banking, that you need to reconcile your register to the bank statement. Right? You can say, well, I just don't feel like I have that much money in the bank. Well, what you feel doesn't change what is recorded. What you feel, you may not feel like you got that much money. You may not feel like you made that purchase, but the bank statement tells the truth. So you don't go by your feelings. You go by what the statement says. Miss Molly, we don't do it monthly. We do it weekly with the church account. When she goes in there to do all the banking stuff, one of the first things she does is prints up a bank statement for that last week. And she reconciles our accounts. Every once in a while, maybe something happened and maybe she recorded something and somebody else came in to record something and there's a double recording of it. And so now our bank statements don't match up. So we use the bank statement. We go through all of our transactions and we realize, we double recorded. So we've actually got more money in the bank than we thought we did. How many know that's a good feeling? Right? Listen, when the devil's telling you lies, you need to reconcile your accounts with the book. You need to reconcile your accounts with the Bible statement. When the enemy's telling you, and you're feeling this, and you maybe, hey, listen, not feeling saved, not feeling redeemed, not feeling healed, not feeling blessed, that doesn't change the Bible statement. It doesn't change what's in the book. You got to believe what's in the book. The Bible says you're healed. The Bible says you're forgiven. The Bible says you're saved. Doesn't matter how you feel. Don't listen to your feelings. Hallelujah. Your feelings don't determine the facts. The Bible statement determines the facts. Amen. Well, I'm way down my notes here. Okay, I got to listen to this. I love this. Smith Wigglesworth, anybody heard of Smith Wigglesworth? A few of you, some of you. He was a mighty man of God back over, I think it's over in England, wasn't it? Anyway, he's gone on to be with the Lord several years back, but he came home one day and he was a preacher and everything. He was a plumber, and he became a preacher, kind of like Brent's going on Brent here, right? So anyway, but he came home one day, and as he walked through the door, somebody looked. He had some guests in the house and everything. They looked at him. No, he didn't come home. He came down from getting ready. He came down the stairs. As he came down the stairs, somebody looked and says, "Hey, Smith, how are you doing today?" He goes, "I don't ask Smith Wigglesworth how he's doing today. I tell him." In other words, he says, "I'm not governed by my feelings. I don't ask myself, man, how are you feeling today? No, I tell myself how to feel." People ask me, says, "Ken, how are you doing today?" I mean, I'm doing absolutely awesome. I may not be feeling awesome that day, but I don't ask myself how I feel. I tell myself how I feel. God didn't tell us to go by our feelings. He told us to speak to our feelings. I love that. Absolutely love that. Listen to this. Faith in the blood requires accurate knowledge. Doesn't it? Because if you don't hear accurate knowledge about the blood of Jesus, you're not going to be able to put true faith in it to do what it was actually intended to do. Listen, this is Andrew Murray, great author. He said this, "Faith is largely dependent on knowledge. If knowledge of what the blood can accomplish is not accurate, then faith expects little and the more powerful effects of the blood are limited. Feeble ideas of its power prevent the deeper and more perfect manifestations of its effects. In simple terms that I can understand, what he's saying is if you have inaccurate information about the blood of Jesus, which religion pushes, right? People who have no knowledge, right? But if you have accurate knowledge, what did I say in the very beginning? F.F. Bosworth says, faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where it begins. So you want to make sure you have accurate knowledge, right? And so what he's saying is if you have inaccurate knowledge, maybe that the blood of Jesus, it'll do this, but it won't do that. And this is what some people believe. The blood of Jesus, Austin was sharing that about an organization they used to be hooked up with, and they fired them when they started coming to church here. Glad to be a blessing to you. Anyways. But listen, that organization, they believed in the power of the blood to save, but they didn't believe in the power of the blood to heal. Right? How many know that's inaccurate knowledge? That doesn't even line up with the book. The Bible says that no, the same blood that saved you is the same blood that will heal you, is the same blood that will give you peace, is the same blood that will give you joy, with the same blood that will lift yourself low self-esteem. It's the same blood that will help you in every area of your life. It's the same blood that can help your marriage be strong. It's the same blood that can make your family strong. It's the same blood that can make your business prosper. It's the same blood that can do everything. Come on. But if you have inaccurate knowledge, it can stop the more powerful aspects of the blood working on your behalf because you didn't know that faith begins where the will of God is known. But Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says faith comes by hearing. And that word hearing, everybody that goes to church here for a while knows where I'm going right now. That word hearing is a present tense action verb. So faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. What is a present tense action verb? It's an action that's always in the now. So faith doesn't come from having heard once. That's right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Yeah. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And then Paul tells you how your hearing better be. Where you better be getting your hearing from if you want it to grow faith in God. And your hearing should come from the Word of God. So there's two statements. Your faith comes by, how many know, your faith is going to grow in whatever you hear the most of. If all you do is listen to the lies of the devil, that you're never going to amount to anything. If you listen to the lies of the devil, you're always going to be in this condition. You're going to always have to struggle with this. If that's all you listen to and you get online and you're looking up everything, and it's just, how many know the internet will verify your fears? Doctor tells you this is going on. You see, then you get up and you begin to look up that disease or that condition, and then the internet just says, yep, you'll be dead in 3 days. And then you get in a panic because, oh my gosh, I'm going to be dead in 3 days. The Bible puts it this way. Whose report will you believe? But it goes on to say, he says, but I choose to believe the report of the Lord. I'm not going to listen to what the world's saying. Do not be conformed to the world's way of thinking, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Over in 2 Peter chapter 1, it says this. I love this. It says, may God give you more and more grace and peace. How many could do with some more grace and more peace in your life? Come on, listen to this. May God give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. He will give you more and more grace and peace as you grow in your knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 3. By his divine power, God has given you everything that you need for living a godly life. Everything you need is provided. We have received all of this by coming to know him. That's another word of process, isn't it? Everybody around here knows I'm big on this statement. Trust the process. Trust the process of faith. Trust the process of what God said he would do for you. I don't care what it looks like. The devil's a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. Come on. Come on. If Jesus said he would do it, he will do it. Amen. He says, listen, he says, we have created all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Wow, God is so faithful. God is so good. And he sent Jesus to shed his blood for us. The best thing you can do today is make a decision. I put my faith in the blood. I believe what the blood did for me. I believe what the blood did for me. Hallelujah. Understand this, though. Faith has a voice. You can't just go around think this. Faith, put my faith in the blood. No, you can't go around just thinking it. Faith has a voice. Faith involves believing and speaking. Mark 11:23 and 24 says, for whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt unto their heart, they shall have whatsoever they say. Therefore, when you pray, believe that you have received it, and you shall have it. See, faith is a speaking. It is a speaking force. It is a life force that speaks. Faith moves. Faith involves believing and speaking. Listen to this. We honor the blood of Jesus as we lift our voice in faith, declaring what it has done and what it is accomplishing. How do we honor? Listen, if I gave you a tool, I gave you like a power tool, a nail gun. You're out there and you're trying to build your house and you're smashing your fingers. You're trying to nail everything. And I came up and I said, hey, whoa, wait. I got this nail gun. And I'll even give you the compressor to go with it. All the settings are done. You take this and try this. And you're like, no, I really thank you. You know what? I received the gun. Thank you for giving me the gun. I'm so glad that you gave me that gun. And you go over here and you set it on the ground. And you go back over here and you pick up your hammer and you start hammering. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Oh, no, thank you. Thank you so much for the gun. Man, that just means so much that you gave me the gun. I really appreciate you giving me that nail gun. That is awesome. I mean, it's amazing. That is awesome. But I'm just going to use my hammer. How can you honor a gift if you never use the gift? How can you honor it? The way that we honor the precious gift of the blood of Jesus is by using the precious blood of Jesus. And the way that we use it is by pleading the blood. When the enemy comes against you, bring some negative thought. Nope. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says to take into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So when a thought comes in, and some of you have heard me say this, my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, always said this. He says, you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. Right? So we can't stop thoughts from coming, but when they come, we can certainly dust them away. Right? When those thoughts come, we can say, nope, I plead the blood of Jesus against that. I bring that thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. I'm not going to think that way. I remember there was a guy, and I've shared this with a couple of people here, but I remember there was a guy, he was a preacher, he had a successful preacher. I mean, he had everything going for him. I had no reason to even be down. I mean, life was good. The church was doing good. Family was doing good. Kids were obedient and doing good. I mean, everything was good. Life was good. He was going on a walk one day with his dog, and he gets to this bridge, this big old beautiful scenic. He was standing right there, and it's a big old long drop to the water. He's standing there, and all of a sudden he had this thought, why don't you just go ahead and jump and end it all right now? And I love his response, because he recognized that was a thought from the enemy. He says, I ain't going to jump. Why don't you jump? What did he do? Some stupid, invasive thought comes in, and he caught it. No. I'm not going to sit there and meditate on that. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over that thought. I'm not going to entertain some stupid thought of fear, anxiety, stress, worry, debt. I'm not concerned about what's going to happen to my business. I commit my business to Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over my business. I plead the blood of Jesus over my workers. I plead the blood of Jesus over my church. I plead the blood of Jesus over my family. I plead the blood of Jesus over everybody in the name of Jesus. I'm not taking this garbage. Come on. We don't have to take that stuff anymore, do we? What am I saying? Feed your faith in the blood and starve your doubts. Feed your faith and starve your doubts. How do you do that? You feed your faith by declaring what Jesus said about you, and you starve your doubts by going, no, I'm not going to sit there and feed that into my thinking. I'm not going to meditate on that. I'm not going to feed on that. That's a lie. That's not from God. I'm not listening to that garbage anymore. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus has set me free. For the law of the spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus has made me free from the laws of sin and death. I don't have to listen to this anymore, and I'm not going to listen to it anymore. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. I plead the blood. Come on. Faith has a voice. I plead the blood. I plead the blood over my family. I plead the blood over my business. I plead the blood over my wife. I plead the blood over my husband. I plead the blood over my children. I plead the blood over my bills. I plead the blood over my finances. I plead the blood over my joy. I plead the blood over my peace. I decree and declare that I have joy, peace, provision, health, prosperity in every aspect of my life because the blood of Jesus has already paid the price for me. The Bible tells us you are not your own, but you are bought with a price. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. He's a liar. God don't speak things to you that bring fear and anxiety. He don't speak that stuff to you. Everything God speaks is going to bring peace. It's going to bring comfort. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this today? Go ahead. Glory to God. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood. The blood of Jesus has made provision for all these things. Amen? The blood of Jesus made provision. So I'm not giving in. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I'm not listening to the devil. I'm not listening to doubt. I'm not listening to unbelief. I'm not listening to all that garbage. I believe God. I trust God. I believe God that it will be just as it was told me in His Word. I thank God that He is faithful. I thank God that He sent Jesus to die on the cross and shed His blood for me. I put my faith in the blood. Hallelujah. Glory to God.